Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 210, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. To God will I direct my prayer, and he will make my needs his care. I trust him still, though in my grief no answer yet has brought relief. And with hands stretched out through all the night, uncomforted, I sought for light. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 210. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the 38th Psalm, Psalm 38. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 38. A psalm of David to bring to remembrance. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head. As an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly, I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I've roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. But mine enemies are lively, and they are strong, and they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that good is. Forsake me not, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. And so far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. Bill Auerkirk, who had surgery in this past week. Also, Mrs. Van Duveren of the Picture Butte congregation has passed away in the day of yesterday. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and all-knowing God, who dwelleth above, and who yet is not far from any one of us. For at the right hand of thy Father thou art, in thy human nature, and but thy majesty and thy Godhead, thy grace and thy spirit, thou dost go forth with for the sake of thy people over the length and breadth of the whole world. And Lord, thou knowest who that they are. Thou knowest where that they are. We have read it out of thy holy word. And they are those who cannot lift up their own head before thee on account of their own iniquity and sin, which rises up before them as a mountain. Lord, what a separation that we have made. That we had no desire to continue in our father Adam and have no desire also in our deep fall for thee and for thy favor and for thy communion. And our sins testify against us so that there is no man that is without iniquity and guilt. But by nature, Lord, thou knowest we don't feel it. And now we are together in thy house, and thou knowest also where that thy children are, who must smite upon their own breast, and whom and who must confess the daily burden that they carry, that their sin that is too heavy for them. Lord, then we cannot advance one step in the way of holiness in this world. For it is a heart that seeketh out every abomination. And left for one moment, we do fall. And it becomes evident again what lives in our own heart and life. But Lord, then thy servant did also say, at the same time my enemies are lively. And when my foot slippeth, then they rejoice over me. Lord, wilt thou remember thy people? For Satan does make his opportunities that their foot may slip. And then the accusations, they are coming. So that the hope is being again cut off. And Lord, thou knowest the despondency that can live in the heart of thy people. Oh, when thou wouldst hide thy face from them, then it is misery. Lord, remember thy people. And wilt thou deliver them from all their guilt and from all their sin? And wilt thou deliver them from all their enemies? And could it please thee to look upon them in this day, and thy afflicted and thy poor? Oh, that the meek may be given to eat for a moment and be satisfied, and receive a moment's rest on this Sabbath day. Oh, we request of thee, Lord, where we read in thy word, there is a river, the streams whereof they make glad the city of God. Oh, could it please thee to give that people for a moment to drink from that river, and from those streams that do flow, from thy good pleasure, in the sending forth of thy only begotten Son into this world, that he may pay that price for sin, and that he may stand in the breach between God and the sinner, and that reconciliation may be made, and that that people may drink, that they may drink abundantly out of that river, that living water. Lord, that thou may so feed thy people and satisfy them when they have come in need in thy house in this morning hour. And when it is that we have no need, Lord, then we ask of thee that thou may plant that need in this morning in our hearts. Oh, we are dependent upon Thee. The working of Thy Holy Spirit to bless Thy Word and to sanctify it for a moment in this morning hour. And when we are gathered around it according to Thy command, Lord, Thou knowest the despondency of those in our midst who at least in an outward way, they do come up with desire from time to time. Lord, Thou knowest those that do yet bow their knees and that do ask of Thee, and that they may also receive a blessing. And they are those that stand on the outside of it. Lord, could it please Thee to look upon them in this morning and to grant an undeserved blessing out of Thy heavenly store, and that the need also may be borne in the life of those that have it not. For there are those that come up by form and custom continually, but it is because mother and father do bring them here, and it is because mother and father have taught them so. And there is no outward desire even when they come and go from the place of the holy. And Lord, who makes us to differ? Oh, we all need that same thing. Look upon them, Lord, also in this morning, and bless Thy word. Oh, that that desire may be born in the heart of in this morning, and young and old, and that the desires may be even in that land of Moab, and that there may be a little looking unto our Maker and our Creator again, to turn from all that is vain and carnal, dying and leading to an eternal destruction, that from the land beyond the Jordan, that people's heart may go out to Thee, and that Thou may look upon them from heaven, Thy dwelling place. Lord, to whom else can we go? And Thou alone hast the words of eternal life, and it is all so forfeited because of our sin. But we ask it in and through Him in whom Thou art so well pleased. Remember all the afflicted and the sick, also those that mourn. Wilt Thou supply for that husband, for those children, and for all the loved ones that will have in this week to stand before an open grave. Oh Lord, be on their right and on their left. And wilt Thou supply for all of them together, strengthen them in Thee Thyself, and do draw their hearts through this calling, and our hearts also. Look upon him that has received surgery in the week that is gone by. Lord, bless and sanctify this way unto him and unto his family. And wilt Thou humble under Thy goodness and strengthen him further, and supply in all the needs. Look upon each and every one of us in this day. Lord, strengthen us. Oh, we are called to bring Thy word again, and Thou knowest all that lies within us. Oh, forgive Thou all our sins. And wilt Thou, for the sake of this people, help us again, though it is so undeserved. And wilt Thou take reasons out of Thyself to give a blessing in the midst of this our flock. And wilt Thou cause Thy Spirit, feelingly and believingly,
though undeservedly to be among us. And we ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 416, stanzas 2, 4, and 5. A bitter tears of lamentation are my food by night and day. In my deep humiliation, where is now thy God, they say. 2, 4, and 5, 416, and the last collection today is for our school. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, the 15th chapter, the second part of verse 20. Luke 15, verse 20, just these words, "But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him." So far the words of our text. A father receives his son again. First, a longing father. Second, a receiving father. And third, a rejoicing father. A father receives his son again. First, a longing father. Second, a receiving father. And third, a rejoicing father. But when he was yet a great way off. No, congregation, he was not yet near. But he was still very far away. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. When do we see someone who is yet a great way off? That is, when we are looking for him. Because when we are not looking for him, then when he is still far away, we do not notice him and we do not see him. Thus, what is the Lord Jesus saying when he says, "But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him"? Then the Lord says that this father, he was looking for him. And he was waiting every day for his son to return. Thus we say, a longing father. And how is it now with the Lord concerning his own elect? Then he is looking and he is waiting every day for their return. That is a longing father. No, it is not the same as with us, because he has not those emotions as you and I have. He knows the end from the beginning, and with him there is no variableness and there is no shadow of turning. And yet what does he say? He says, "Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore are my bowels troubled for him." And again he says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she would not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, and yet will I not forget." No, from that day that Adam departed, then the Lord, he has been looking and waiting for the return of his people. How is that looking? How is that waiting? Is that then a passive waiting? As if he is helpless and as if he must wait for that people until
they exercise their own free will to turn back again unto him that cannot be. That cannot be. Why not? Because the Lord Jesus says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. There is no question about it. And why is there no question? Because it is a fruit of his own work. There is activity. There is activity from the side of the Lord. Otherwise, that people, they could never come back. There must be activity. Isn't that so, young people? Say, my heart, that is, when I am honest, that is vain. It is carnal. And all you talk about, minister, actually, I have honestly no desire. Must not the Lord do something then? Or if the Lord, if he did not come as one that had lost his sheep, then those sheep, they would never be found. There is activity. There is activity from the side of the Lord to send his own son to merit the return of that people and to send his spirit to bring that people back. But of course, that is not known by that people. What kind of work is that? That is a secret work. That is hidden from them. And that is only something that later they may be given to see. How does it appear to that people? Well, when that son left, then you do not find congregation that father, he is running after his son to bring him back again. Is that then a father that is without care? Is that then a father that is indifferent? No, it is far from this, but it is also a father who is not without wisdom. And because we don't read of that father running after his son, is that then a father that is without prayer? No, we cannot believe this. The work of that father, that was a secret work. And we read of Joseph, that his bowels, they are yearning upon his brethren. But he withholds himself. And why does he withhold himself? Because the time that is not yet there. But he was busy. How? Secretly. Secretly. Busy to draw those brothers. Busy to bring those brothers in the right place. That they may come back to him. That he may reveal himself to them. And that he may be united unto them again in the right way, then there is a need that must be fully wrought. There are lessons that have to be learned by the people. And that is not a work that we can just hurry. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Oh, his father saw him before. His father, he has seen him every day. He has seen him before his eyes every day. He has seen him in his secret chamber every day. When he has appeared before the Lord. And then he has seen his son even when he was in a far country. He has seen him when he was wasting his substance with riotous living. Yes, then he has seen him. And did that young man know it? Oh, he never thought of it. He was too busy. He was too busy enjoying his life. But how different congregation it was with that father. Is that not how it is now? With that true church of God. With that elect church. And when they are born in this world, conceived and born in sin, and they are going over this world with not the least thought of God. And how is it with him? Oh, his thoughts, they are upon his people. But now, how was that for that son? How was that for the son in the day that we read, he began to be in want? Or in that day, then he experiences for himself nothing of the presence of his father. He only experiences a great distance from his father. And how is it in all the manifold labors of that man when he has joined himself to a citizen of that country and when he is laboring now in that a way of turning to save his own life and to earn himself a little bread? No, Father. How is it when that young man we read, he comes to himself? Oh, then we read his thoughts, they are going back unto his father. And then there are those thoughts of mercy. There are those thoughts of grace. Oh, the soul that is already taking refuge as it were unto him, and yet he does not know that he will be accepted of his father. Oh, how hidden. How hidden is the Lord congregation to that people. How the Lord hides himself, even though his own bowels, they are yearning upon his children. Or he is secretly working. He is powerfully working. He is effectually working. But that people cannot see him. But when he was yet a great way off, indeed he was a great way off. Indeed he has separated himself so far from his father. And now he slowly comes. He slowly comes closer and closer. And that is a life congregation that is tossed between hope and fear. Oh, how much did not go through the mind and the heart of that young man as his steps, they began to tread that way back again unto his father. Oh, how much has he not contemplated of his own sin, of his own guilt, and of his wicked departure from a caring and from a loving father. so that the thoughts of the people, they have congregation to go back to paradise. Oh, how has he not contemplated in those days the anger of his father? The thought of God brought me no peace, but rather made my fears increase, and the righteousness of that anger. Oh, how many times has he not in those days cast himself in his own mind and in his own heart upon the good pleasure and upon the mercy and upon the grace of his Father, that he would ask his Father, even for the lowest place, make me as one of thy hired servants. Oh, how Satan, he has so plagued that boy as he is treading those steps. And how often has not the justice of his father come into his heart and into his mind, that he has to say, I am not worthy to be called thy son. And that he has to acknowledge the just judgment of his father. Oh, what a burden. What a burden in those days was the hiding of the face of his father. That he was not able to behold his countenance. And yet, oh, the thought, the hope in his mercy, the hope in his grace, in his great need, oh, that hope that is preserving the way of his steps, that he is not turning unto the right hand or to the left. Oh, to God will I direct my prayer. And he will make my needs his care. I trust him still. Though in my grief no answer yet has brought relief. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. No, he has not spoken to him for a long time. But he saw him. And he saw him when he was still a great way off. He saw him weeping. He saw him grieving. He saw the missing. He saw the longing. He saw the yearning. He saw his hunger. He saw his misery. And then what did he do? That is our second thought, a receiving father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and ran. Oh, do you think that that father did not know what was going on in the heart of his son? Had he no idea of his grief? Had he no idea of his sorrow, of his hopes, of his fears, and of the temptations that would be in the way for him? And that father, he will not let it last, congregation, for one moment too long. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and ran.
Oh, what does Solomon say? He says that the Lord, he does not afflict willingly. And there is not a moment's hesitation from the side of this father. There is for him no questioning. There is for him no pondering the situation. There is not as if that he has to come and to consider and to make a decision. But immediately, he begins to run. And neither congregation is there a moment's hesitation from the side of the Lord toward that people to receive once again that people unto himself. The natural father, he may do it. Why? Because he does not, he is not the judge. And we fathers, oh, we have that privilege. We have that privilege that we may look over the sin of our children, to receive them again, because we are ourselves full of sin. And that is not possible with the Lord. And yet there is not a moment's hesitation. And why not? Because for him, that sin is paid. And that justice that has been so completely satisfied. And he may rejoice in the reception of that blessed work of his only begotten Son. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and ran. Oh, that father goes to meet his son. Why? Because it will take too long for that son to come all the way to him. And the father, he cannot wait that long. How long has he been asking? How long has he been yearning? How long has he besought the Lord for this? And now is he not in a place that he may receive him? Or are not now the fruits of true repentance evident in his son? Is there still another lesson that needs to be learned? Is it not enough? And now that father, he may receive the desire of his heart. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. All eternity, a people loved of the Lord. I have loved thee, he says, with an everlasting love. But he has so long refrained himself. Why? Because of the people. But now there comes a time when that people are brought in the way of true repentance by that Spirit of the Lord, and that the Father, that he may embrace them, and that he may kiss them. And that is now his delight, that love that was from all eternity, that may now burst forth upon the people. And ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. All who is able to express what has now gone on in the heart of this boy. Oh, for a people congregation to experience the favor of the Lord. Because in that moment, then that boy knew that that father, he was no more angry. And ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Oh, blessed favor of the Lord to an ungodly rebel who has so wickedly departed from him. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But now he cannot finish. And you know what he wanted to say, children. And he cannot finish. And why can he not finish? Oh, I think it is, congregation, because that father, he will not let him finish. Because that father, he will not hear of anything of the sin of that boy anymore. There is so much gladness in the heart of that father that we do not hear a single word of rebuke for his son. And now when the Lord, he is receiving that people back again, then he may receive them in his only begotten son. And there is congregation when he receives them in his son. There is not a single word of rebuke anymore from the Father unto that people. Then no more sin is mentioned. And there is no more sin to be found on the side of that people, because it is so swallowed up in the ocean of that blood of that only begotten Son of God. And the Father, he does not see it anymore. And it is not now mentioned even unto that Son, because that justice that has been so completely satisfied. And it is by grace and mercy that that Father receives that people back again unto himself. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Three things that take place at the command of this father. And they are not things the son had to do. They are things in which that son is passive. They are all things that are done unto that son. And what is now? The first one. Bring forth, he says, the best robe. The robe. Oh, he needs to be stripped of all his rags. That cannot cover his nakedness. And then he is clothed with a garment that is acceptable to his father. He is clothed with a garment that is given unto him by his father. And what is this a representation of? That is two things. That robe, that is now the righteousness of the only begotten Son of God. But that robe, the Father says to those servants, put it on him. Put it on him. Thus, it is a righteousness that is imputed
unto that Son. A righteousness which is given, written on the account of the people before the Lord at the command of the Father. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And a ring on his finger. What is that? That ring that was the sign that he was a son. So that boy, he is received into the sonship again of his father. And he receives again the former place that he may have in that house. And lastly, shoes on his feet. What is that? That is freedom. That boy may go in and out, and he may go walk up and down in the presence of his Father. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. O congregation, everything of his former life that is now taken away. And that boy is so completely restored into the presence and the communion of his Father, so that he may experience that old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Oh, what an abundance is experienced in the life and in the heart of this boy, so far above his expectations. Let us sing. As Psalter 444, the fifth stanza, like as a father looketh with compassion upon his children, lo, in such a fashion the Lord doth look on them that fear and trust. Stanza 5 of 444. We heard of a longing father. We heard of a receiving father. And now lastly, a rejoicing
Father, this Son, congregation, he is received again. And the Father speaks. He is forgiven, he is washed, he is cleansed, he is brought again into communion. And then we do not read one word from this Son. What do you think, children? Why not? Oh, you say maybe he cannot even speak. How could you speak? Oh, what words could he say that would measure up to all that he has received? And so it is experienced. Words are too short. Oh, then it seems to speak it even. Then it seems that even by that language, sometimes that it becomes so too superficial. But it is not necessary that he speaks. No, because the Father speaks again. And what does the Father say? The Father says that it is time to rejoice and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. That is a rejoicing congregation at the command of the Father. There is so much sinful rejoicing in this world. And there is much rejoicing in all that is vain. And it is all rejoicing and that is soon going to come to an end. Here we read of a different rejoicing. Young people, oh, then you may sing your heart out. You may rejoice with all your heart and all your life. Oh, it is a lawful rejoicing. It is a rejoicing even at the command of God himself. And it is a given rejoicing. A rejoicing that is given in the heart and in the life. What do we read? And they began to be merry. At what? At the restoration of communion. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. What is happiness? What is happiness? Young people, what do you say happiness is? One says one thing, one says another thing. One of the definitions of happiness that is appropriateness. That is a very good definition. When is a man happy? When is a creature happy? That creature is happy when it's living in its element. A bird is happy to fly and to sing. And a dog, he is happy to run and to bark. And a fish, he is happy as long as he is in his water. And man, he is not happy. He is not happy. He looks for happiness. He looks here and there, but he is not happy. Isn't that right, children? And why is he not happy? He is not in his element. He has lost it. He has lost that for which he was created. And as long as he does not receive this, he is not happy. And what is this? It is communion. Oh, that is the purpose for which the Lord has made us, that we may commune with him, that we may worship him, that we may glorify him, that we may live with him forever. And as long as we have not this, we are not happy. But when we may have this restored to us, then we have true happiness. And they began to be merry.
At what? At the restoration of communion. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Oh, merriment that begins in this life already. Merriment that is beginning already in the soul of the church. And they began to be merry. And they begin to be merry already here below. Because when that soul that is received into communion, oh, then that soul experiences something of peace and of contentment. Because then that soul has found once again his element. And it is already in the consideration of it. It is already in the first thought of it. That there is already something of that merriment, of that happiness. When that soul only begins to think upon him whom he has left, when that soul only begins to think, to consider that way of true repentance, oh, who is there in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee, then already there is something, oh, even in the thought, that I might be restored again, then there is that drawing to him because that soul feels where that true happiness is. Then it is experienced in a greater measure when that people, they may have shown to them the way that that is possible. When there may be something of Christ revealed, when there may be something of Christ applied, then they may receive in him by faith already something of that true merriment in sweet communion. Lord, with thee I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest in thy own to keep me near thy side. Oh, while the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. Oh, the king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. Oh, they began to be merry. It begins here already upon this earth. Do we know a little bit of such a merriment? Oh, what shall it be when that people, they are received again through those gates of heaven? What shall it be when they are received into those portals of an eternal bliss? Oh, then, congregation, they shall begin to be merry, because then all that did hinder them, the flesh and the sin, in that merriment already here below, that will all be taken away, because there shall enter into that place nothing that defiles. Oh, then that merriment that shall be perfect. Then that merriment that shall be supreme. Then that merriment that shall be without any interruption. And they began to be merry. And not only the son, but who else, children? Also that father. Also that father. And they began to be merry. Or it is not only that people, but it is God himself. It is the triune God that is rejoicing when he may receive back again his people unto himself. Oh,
that is now the creature that he has made, that is again restored unto his purpose. And now that creature, he is no more rebellious. Oh, that creature, he is no more discontent. No, he is now content. He is content to stay by me. Oh, he is content to worship me. He is content to serve me. He is content to live with me. He is content to commune with me every day. And now he is mine forever. Oh, then he will receive the glory. And it will be so increased. Because then it is not only as the maker of the people, but it is also as their redeemer. It is also and especially as their savior. And that he has gone to seek them out. Oh, and they began to be merry. Congregation, what shall it be? When they begin to be merry, will you also begin to be merry? That merriment that begins here already on this earth. But what has to be before that merriment? The sorrow. The sorrow. Is that now in your life? But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Does he see that also in a people in our midst? Does he see from a great way off a people, a man that is bowing in his barn? Does he see that? Does he see a young man that has to come out of his tractor and to bow his knees in the field? Does he see a congregation from a great way off? Does he see a mother sometimes bowing her knees in her kitchen? Does he see a boy or a girl in her bedroom? Sometimes weeping. But when he was yet a great way off. No, we do not say a people that are near, but a people that have departed. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Does he see you too? Can he read your heart? A heart that says, I will arise and I will go to my Father and I will say, Father, I have sinned. Oh, does he see from a great way off in your heart? A people that have to acknowledge, I am nowhere worthy to be called thy son. But, oh God, the smallest, smallest place. Does he see it? But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. And does he see Satan's attempt to keep you away? Those that are righteous, that say you are a publican, you're a sinner. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And then what do they experience? They experience what he says. He says, for my thoughts, they are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. But as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. When you think that you cannot be accepted, because there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repented, more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance, even when you are still a great way off. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, bless thy word. Bring it, Lord, in our hearts. And bring it in the hearts of those who fear that they cannot be accepted. Thou knowest where they are. Remember them because it is thy word. And wilt thou encourage them and keep the way of their steps and bring them, Lord. Oh, Lord, wilt thou run? Wilt thou run? And wilt thou show thy face and let a light shine in the heart of that people that they may feel and experience something of the kiss of thee that is so beyond our comprehension when we have departed from thee and when all our sin testifies against us. But Lord, thou sittest and eatest with publicans and sinners, and so thou wilt receive the glory. Bring them then. Oh, bring them, Lord, in our midst. And forgive thou all our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 362. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea, and forgiving all. If thou shouldst mark our sins, who then could stand? But grace and mercy dwell at thy right hand. All stanzas of 362. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.